Well, it's just really technical. It's really technical. It's the news, according to me. Technical news. Technical Tuesday. Technical Tuesday. Hey, yeah, it's Tuesday, April 21st, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. This would be a great time to start a live podcast, actually. I might do that, maybe I'll do that tomorrow. The live one will be tomorrow. That's the plan. Live one will be tomorrow. Maybe Thursday. I don't know. I think tomorrow's going to be the best day for a live show. That's the plan. That's my plan. I'm sticking with it. I've got the rest of this week off. I've got all of next week off. And most of the next week off. I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. I know what I'm going to do, but I'll do a million things and not get anything done. Because that's the way I roll, by golly. I'll probably start 12 new projects instead of finishing one of the projects I've been doing for the last 12 years. I forgot, that's the nature of who I am, I guess. I don't know, something about that, the whole thing. Technical Tuesday here at the Tuesday Shop, at the News Shop, News According to Me. I am Kevin, your host. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial counselor, I'm not a technician wizard of any sort. But I do have, what is that? Is that little button right there, does that clear anything? It doesn't clear it. Okay, whatever. In the background, all kinds of technology happening in the background here. We've got all this stuff happening all over the place. All this technology flying around the rubber room here where I'm recording this. I have, lots of things to talk about. We're going to talk about AI today, of course, because that's kind of the big tech thing that's happening right now. There's just, you know, we got data centers are all kind of revolving around the whole world of AI. There's people investing billions of dollars into this stuff. It is in some ways, it is the gold rush of our current era. And I really feel like people who are not up on what's happening here are going to lose out in a big way, in my opinion. I think they're going to be left behind in certain ways. Now, there are things AI can't do, of course, but I think you're going to need to understand what's going on with it, how to properly use it and what it's all about and what's happening here. I think is at least to have some general sense of what's happening in the artificial intelligence world, which is what they're calling it. There's all kinds of different artificial intelligence now. There's like super intelligence and agentic intelligence. There's all kinds of this AGI, all kinds of other things that they're talking about now. It just gets kind of going off the road. But that's what the show's going to be about today. A few things to talk about, though, newsworthy-wise. One is, what is in my cup, which is what everybody wants to know. I've got a... it's nice and hot. This insulated cup thing was a good idea, I think. That's just a good idea. I have chai, my creamy Big Train chai with my Cinnabon creamer in there. And then I've got my backup cup's a little weird today. I went to Culver's last night. My wife and I went to see a movie. I don't think we've seen a movie in over a year at a theater. And it was interesting. It was kind of a good movie, actually. It was just a good movie. Nothing spectacular. It's just nice to go to a movie and not have all the crap, you know, it was just kind of a normal movie. Normal guy. Good story. Weird. Out, you know, kind of out there, unrealistic kind of thing. But at the same time, it was very, very, just very weird. It was a little bit hard to follow. It was easy to follow the story, but it was at the same time, it's kind of weird, outlandish kind of stuff. So the whole premise of the movie, I'm not trying to be a spoiler alert here. I'm not going to explain to you what's going on, but the whole premise of the movie is this guy is, they discover that the sun is dying, and there's apparently all the stars are dying because there's something happening in the universe that's, this little bug is eating up all the energy or what something, and it's causing all the stars to die. And they discover that there's this one star that's not dying, and they have to find out why. So they have to make a trip to the star, and they're going to send a team out because in 30 years, we're all going to be dead. Ironically, because the Earth is going to cool. Now, there's a lot of things going on in the background here that when you start drawing conclusions as to the way the real world is. It's really a far-fetched movie. However, they present it in a way that's almost believable. It's sci-fi, and it's a sci-fi story. It's not crazy sci-fi, but it's also not crazy. It's just an interesting story. Anyway, so this guy who's a teacher, apparently is a brilliant scientist also, but he's been a teacher and he got kicked out of science world because he had this theory about something. And of course, because he had that theory and because they were kind of discovering that it was true, this little agency behind the scenes, this government agency, was discovered that he was still teaching school, and they kind of enticed him away from teaching school and started working on this project. And the project was, they're going to send this team out there, and they're going to send them all to work on this star and figure out what this star was all about. Of course, it was a one-way ticket. It was not, it's kind of like going to Mars. It's just a one-way deal. You're not coming back. You got enough fuel to get there, and enough fuel to get back. So there was. He goes on this little thing, and he goes on this trip. He ends up, he wasn't supposed to go on the trip, and he ends up on the ship. And, it's all kind of a crazy, wacky deal. And, anyway, that's, there you go. So he's off on this mission to save the universe. And, that's all I'm going to say about it. Anyway, it was an interesting movie. Interesting movie. Good. Well done, I think. Well done in terms of, they got to go kind of over the top. It was an Amazon production, which I don't care for, but I think it was like MGM also. I think Amazon may own MGM. I'm not sure. Just an interesting show. Interesting movie. That's what we did last night. So on the way, I'm getting back to where I started here. We went to Culver's, and why is it when you order a regular meal, if you ask for a large drink, they give you a large everything? Or if you order, like last night, my wife wanted some cheese curds. She got the salad, and she got a fish sandwich. I think she got something. I think she got a fish sandwich with no tartar sauce. Of course, they put tartar sauce on it. Of course, that's what they do. You order it with no tartar, just throw the tartar on there. Because obviously you didn't ask for no tartar, because that would just be crazy. I do it all the time, and they throw it 50% of the time. They throw the tartar sauce on there. I usually make it clear, very clear, two or three times, no tartar. I'd like a no tartar sauce codfish sandwich basket with no tartar sauce, and then a small regular drink and regular. You have to say medium cheese curds, because they don't sell small. You can't say small. If you say, I'd like small fries in a, we don't have small. Medium's our smallest one. Well, then that's the small one. I want the small one. The smallest one you have. Why are you making it more? This is what aggravates me more than anything at Culver's. Apparently, this is a standard at Culver's because it doesn't matter what Culver's I go to in the drive-through. I want a double butter burger, plain with cheese basket. What do you want on that? Plain with cheese. Fries and a Coke, okay? In fact, I'll tell them the whole thing. Sometimes I'll pull it up and I'll say, I want a double butter burger basket, plain with cheese, fries, medium fries, and a sweet tea. Then they'll go back over and say, what do you want on your sandwich? Did you want that in a basket? Fries and a Coke, okay? No, I've already told you everything I wanted. And I said it very slowly. You didn't pay attention to anything. And I'll ask for it. Sometimes they'll ask me again. Like, fries and a Coke, okay? No, I want sweet tea. I want a medium sweet tea. You want a large or small? I want a medium sweet tea. You don't have small. If you ask for a small, they'll tell you they don't have small. They only have medium. Then you know what I mean. If I say small, then just give me the smallest thing you have. You're carrying on a conversation that doesn't need to happen at this point. Now, if this just happened once or twice in my lifetime, I wouldn't be talking about it. It happens almost every time. Now, maybe this works for them. Maybe they just say, you want fries and Coke with that? And people say, yeah. Maybe that's what they do. I don't know. Or maybe they wouldn't just, you know, maybe they're finding out that if they say that, you know, it keeps people from just ordering just a sandwich. Maybe that's what I should do, start doing. I just need to start walking up and just or, you know, driving. I drive to the drive-thru. I don't walk up to the drive-thru. The thing is, I already had a sweet tea in my cup here in the car. And I didn't even need the sweet tea. But I asked for a large cheese curd because my wife wanted to share some of the cheese curds. You know, she wanted a few. So I was like, okay, I'll get a large. That way we got, you know, because I have to have my allotment of, I have to have a certain, you know, amount. Or else I throw a fit. I'm like a little kid. So I ended up ordering large cheese. I want large cheese curds. I didn't ask for a large drink. They just automatically do that when you ask for large cheese curds or large fries, either one. That's like they want you to biggie size the whole thing, which I didn't ask for. When I got the drink, I was like, oh, that's the huge, yeah, I didn't want that much sweet tea. Oh, well. So anyway, I had some left over this morning, but, you know. And so I had that in the refrigerator. Well, I ended up putting that in my cup with my homemade peach sweet tea. So I kind of ruined the peach sweet tea this morning because Culver's sweet tea, it still tastes okay. The peach flavor came through, which that really helps with the sweet tea. That Culver's sweet tea is not as good. Now I've noticed it has gotten better. It doesn't have quite the same flavor. I wonder if they've changed their brand. It's not quite as, I don't know. It's just a different flavor. I'm not sure what that's all about. Anyway, folks, that's the story there. So that's what I got in my cup here. I got a blend of my sweet peach tea and Culver's sweet tea. There you go. It's in there. Oh, my goodness. I have all that. The things I go through to explain everything to you people. You just need to be grateful that you're wasting all your time. I mean, that you're spending all your time getting all this information because it's really helpful. It'll be helpful in life in general and later on in your future. So I'm sure at some point it'll come in handy for you. You'll think back, well, I remember that time when Kevin was talking about ordering something at Culver's. There you go. We're going to get into it a little bit. We're going to talk about AI. I got a few AI callers are going to call in and ask some questions. See how that goes. You know, because I can't have an AI show about AI stuff without having an AI, you know, interaction here. So that's what's going to happen with that. We'll be right back after this little, by the way, there's no advertising. There's no sponsor to this show. It's just me. So that's why I'm taking a break. I'm getting my sponsor. The sponsor needs a break right now. So we're taking a sponsor break right now.
It's the news. It's the news. According to me, oh, it's the news. According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
It's the news.
It's the news. according to me, it's the news. According to me.
Hey, it's the news. According to me, yes, it is. Here we are. We have, all right, we're going to get right into this stuff. We have a lot of things happening in the AI world recently. I don't know how in touch some of you have been. I'm finding that, you know, I'm kind of steep in it, I guess. And there's a lot of people who don't know what's going on and don't pay attention to it, which is fine. It's fine if you don't. It's probably healthy to not get too involved in it because it can drive you crazy. And I have a lot going on I use quite a few different AI agents. I think I pay for Gemini. I think I also pay for, I know I pay for Claude because I do a lot of building, and that's worth it for Claude, I guess, if I can, it's all the stuff I'm doing there. I have a pretty big, how you say, yeah, of course I use ChatGPT. I haven't been drinking. It's too early for that. I'm only 63. I haven't started drinking yet. Ever. So that's kind of I plan on starting about, I don't know, maybe 85, 90, somewhere in there. Where was I going with all that? ChatGPT, I use that. Grok, I don't have a paid subscription to either one of those two, of course. Gemini, I think I do have the pro plan or whatever it is, the $20 a week or $20 a month, whatever it is. The small plan on there, using that thing. I do use Gemini quite a bit, actually. But it seems to be the most random one of all of them, which is kind of fun. But it's backed by Google. And this is the whole thing about Google. And Meta, I don't know. I don't trust Meta. I don't even think I've ever used Meta. They've always been kind of behind the power curve, it seems like. But they got this infrastructure behind them that kind of keeps them going. They've had some weird stuff happening with some of the agents or some of the applications they've had in the background that they've tossed one thing out and started another. it's been kind of interesting process with them, but they have so much money backing them, and it's ChatGPT is kind of the same way. They've got so much going on that they're just not they're getting government funding as well, which is part of why they're able to do what they're doing now. Keep in mind, most of what's happening in the AI world with these LLMs, these large language models that they're using, that the things that they're calling the interface that people are using with AI. What's happening with most of this is they are experimenting, and you are the guinea pig. So that's the best way to put this. They're gathering data, seeing how people are using it, seeing what people will do. All this time that they're doing those. At some point in our not so distant future, in my opinion, they will probably, the AI world, there's kind of this race to see who's going to be the top dog, the top of the piggy pile with regard to AI usage and platforms. The much like Google is kind of one of the big people out there, the big organizations out there that everybody think, you know, when you say Google something, well, that's you may or may not be using a Google search engine. However, some some of the other browsers that use searches use Google behind the scenes they use the Google infrastructure. So you've got all these data centers that are going up. Some of them are Amazon data centers. Some of them are other data centers. It's what the data centers are. There's nothing complicated about it. It's just, I mean, they're complex systems, but the to put it simply, they're a big server. Now, what a server is just like a computer. It's just a hard drive that's locked up on the internet, and you have all your data there. So when we talk about the interwebs, the ethosphere, the out there in the ethos, the cloud, as they say, it's not somewhere out in the sky. It doesn't just go out in the sky. It goes to a piece of hardware. So, and what you have is you have servers. Google, I think, initially had like three main servers in the country when they first started this whole thing, before they were bought out by the government Alphabet organization. They had these big servers, and you would type in. Of course, it stored all the data that it could store. Every website, everything that was out there, it would help you find those things. And all these servers, all this stuff was on these servers. The data centers that they're putting in now are just those kinds of servers on steroids. There might be thousands. I could have a server here in my house if I wanted to. And a server is just on all the time. It's connected to the internet all the time. The thing that you run into is bandwidth issues. So in other words, if I just want to have a server here at my house and have it on, Hillary Clinton had a server in her closet, in her home, and she kept classified documents on it. And that's not speculation. That's what we've been told by the FBI. She didn't get in trouble for that, by the way, even though it's known to be that it was hacked. She didn't get in trouble for that, even though people have gone to jail. Hard time prison just for taking pictures. Some guy took a selfie of himself on a submarine, went to jail for that. Sent it to his wife. You're going to jail. Hillary Clinton classified documents on an unsecure server in her home. Walks away, thumbs her nose at everybody. Just walks off. By the way, she's never been president. You know, she's been Secretary of State, but she's never been president. She's been a senator. She's been the first lady. Never been a president. So, all this stuff that's happened and is happening. Is all an experiment, and it's all to get you, of course, to figure out the nature of society so they know how to position all this stuff. Now, behind the scenes, Google makes most of its money through advertising. You sell advertise on so you have sponsors. Every time you type in something on Google to find something, it'll come up with sponsored ads at the very beginning, sponsored responses. The first page might be all sponsors. People who pay for the click. They're making a fortune off that alone. This is where AI is going to go. Now, I have had some situations where I've had a conversation going on with AI about trying to fix something. And it will all of a sudden throw up an idea of where to order the part for my car or whatever it is I'm working on. In one situation, I showed it a picture of my, I had a latch on my door, on my back door on my car. The rear hatch was not working properly. It wasn't shutting. When I would go to shut it, it wouldn't latch. Couldn't figure out what was going on with it. And initially I had it duct tape shut. I didn't want the thing flying open. And ended up, you know, getting, I ended up rigging a strap, like a little tie down type strap for the, to the back. So I could actually brought it inside, brought it up to the middle of the, it's a station wagon. So I had this thing hooked to the back door, and I dragged that through the back seat to the front seat, and I kind of had it tied around there, and I could use a ratchet strap there, and I would just tighten it down, make sure the thing didn't come open, and I would just release the ratchet strap when I wanted to open the door. And it's crazy. So I ended up So I took this thing apart one day. I was like, okay, I'm going to work on this thing and see what's going on with it. And I was going to take it all apart. And I took the plastic cover off the little latch thing, started taking some pictures and showed that to, I think it might have been ChatGPT. Threw that in there because right away, oh, that part's broken. This is a broken part. I can tell right now by looking at the picture that part's broken. You're going to have to order another one of those. This is blah, 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 blah. And I even gave it the serial number of the car and the whole thing. That way, it knows exactly what kind of car I'm talking about. Which right away, it shows me this, it gives me a place to order the part. That is where the money is going to be made with the AI interfaces, the LLMs. You're going to pay, people are going to pay to have their products pushed out there to the public when they need something. So if you call and you say, oh, I've got get this issue with my flowers, there's something like this plant seems to be dying. What do I need? Well, you can go to Miracle-Gro and you can buy this stuff and Miracle-Gro will pay for that. It's a sponsored ad embedded within the, movies do the same thing. Everybody does this. Ad, product placements within movies, within everything. It might be a car. GM will provide all. If you watch some movies, you realize every car in every shot is going to be a GM product because GM sponsored it. I think it what was the one movie that had the Mustang? I think it was a Tom Cruise movie. That was some kind of a weird, kind of a technical sci-fi type thing. And he had a Mustang. I guarantee you Ford paid for that. That was a product placement deal. They were probably leveraging between Mustang and I don't think at that time the Charger was back yet. So probably between Camaro and Mustang. The retro Challenger style car didn't come back until later on. Dodge was kind of late on that one. Charger. But they came into it. I mean, they were a couple of years behind the retro thing because the Camaro came out. And the Camaro turned into kind of a weird little car for a while. And then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, it looks more like it did back in the day. And then, of course, Mustang just outdid them all in terms of power that it had. And then the Challengers, the Charger, I should say, came out. Was it Charger or was it Challenger? What was it? Now, there was, back in the day, there was something called a CUDA, which was like the Challenger, but it had different variations of that. My brother-in-law was really into them. He had, I think he had two or three of them. And the thing had a lot of power. It was a typical Mopar, over-the-top kind of thing. Anyway, but product placement, advertisements, that's where the whole AIT thing is going to go. It's going to be more of a marketing tool than anything else. That's the way Google survives. It's the way they dominate the industry. I know Amazon is a very close second in terms of product search stuff. And of course, then you have Meta, you have, Facebook ads and all that kind of stuff. You got all that kind of stuff going on. Facebook Marketplace ads, if you go to Marketplace, there's ads all over the place. If you type in something, you'll find there's sponsored ads within that for the people who are selling products that they pops up into their search windows. So it's not just, peer-to-peer. It's sometimes there's businesses involved as well. Anyway, that's the nature of where things are going. And there's a lot of AI models out there. A lot of them are kind of unknown or they're not very as well known. But that's where things are going with this stuff. Now, having said all that, that's just kind of a brief overview cursor of what I believe is happening in the AI world, and it's what's going to end up happening. It's all about marketing, and of course that's kind of where they're at. I want to pull up a caller here and see what we have going on, just to let somebody else be on the
Technical Tuesday. My favorite day of the week here on your show, Kevin.
Yeah,
what's up with the agentic world? AI seems to be changing at the speed of light lately.
Yeah,
is there
true.
Any plateau on the horizon? This stuff just seems crazy to me. Hey, well, what you think about all the folks in an uproar about Trump and the AI meme he put out over the weekend? Seems like a lot of people were offended by something. What's your take on all that?
Well, here's my take. I apparently didn't erase what I had you say yesterday. I just didn't get that done properly. Sorry about that. Let's just talk about the AI thing. It is interesting how fast things are changing. It seems like every week, sometimes twice in a week, they'll come out with a new, like they got, you know, Opus 4.7, I think, now for the Claude thing. I know Gemini just released something new. I think ChatGPT did too. And I think Grok is, it's kind of like they slingshot past each other a lot. One of them will say, okay, Claude's dominating now. They've got all this stuff that it can do. And the next thing you know, ChatGPT opens up. For creators, it's just blown past everybody else. You can do this now with ChatGPT. It's just one thing after another. They kind of pass each other. Now, Claude has just come out with something called Claude Design. And it's got kind of like Nano Banana and a couple other things in there. Which is what Gemini has. There are a lot of tools connected to Gemini that you can do that. And so it's just one thing after another. And they all kind of seem to be racing forward with different. Sometimes they're just different versions of the same system, and then they have a whole totally different system. The problem with these systems is the more powerful they become, the system becomes more powerful. It also uses up tokens faster, which is what you kind of pay for. So let's say you have a $100 a month program that you're paying for, and it provides you with, 20 million tokens or whatever it is, whatever the number is, a million tokens a month or whatever. You can burn through your token allotment very quickly. And what they usually try to do is meter it out to a week, I think in some cases. And in some cases, they try to help you preserve your tokens. And tokens are like a word. So every time you type in something into a chat window, say you put in a couple sentences and it's a couple hundred words, you might have, it's a couple hundred, tokens. And so the response then also is tokens. And then every time it reads those, but each time you tap into that chat. So say I type in, hey, how do I do this with my car? I've got this kind of car and I got this kind of brake system I need, all this stuff. You type all this information in there and then it comes back and it reads that. And then it comes back and it gives you suggestions. Well, you need this kind of thing to fix that. You need this kind of thing to fix that. You have this kind of model, so you need that, whatever it is that you need, all this stuff. Well, then you type in something else and you ask it a further question or go with something, further. And then it reads all that information again. It starts at the top. Most of these start, there's no memory. It just reads back through the top of the thread and goes back through the whole thing again. And each time you type in, it's reading its response and what you typed in and everything else you've typed in all the way back to the beginning every time. And it's exponentially using up tokens. So you have to be very kind of careful with that kind of stuff. You get in these long conversations and you're going and going and going. And I've done some of these where I've gone for 2 hours with a conversation with things. And it's depending on the type of AI you're using, that can get very costly with regard to. Now you won't notice it in your pocketbook. You're still paying $200 a month or whatever, $100 a month or whatever you're paying. They're not going to start charging you for those. In most cases, there might be some LLMs out there that do that. I don't know, but that's kind of where things are at. I think that things are changing. What's happening right now with the AI models is that they're using AI. They're using their next system. To build the next system. So they'll use, say they've got Opus 4.7, well, they're developing it. What's happening is they're using 4.8 or whatever they're using, or the next, Thanos 5.0 or whatever they're using. They're developing that one, and they're using that one to check out the next one or to build the next one. So it's exponentially becoming more powerful. And that's why they can come out with the next version quicker. Which is kind of interesting. It's kind of an interesting concept.
From an engineering perspective, yeah. There's mm-hmm. more to explore.
Yeah, yeah. That's all you got to say? That's all you got to say? Oh. You're set on long there. I don't know if you realize you could have talked a lot longer than that. Let's see if you'll talk longer.
From an engineering perspective, there's more to explore.
Oh, something's not working. Something lost the keys on that one, I think. So probably have to go back and reload. Oh. Yeah, that's just, it's not, yeah. That's all we're going to get out of these folks today. I apologize. I wonder if I can fix this. Let's see what Skip has to say. We'll just check on some of these.
Well, hey there, Kevin. Now, hold on there, partner. Yeah. I'm not so sure about all this robot stuff. Uh-huh. It seems like the robots are going to take over, and I'm not so sure we're ready for that. I mean, are we all going to have jobs? I guess that's my biggest fear, is that humans will be out of work and we'll all just be doing meaningless jobs. Thanks, partner.
Yeah, well, let's see what you have to say here. This is going to be interesting. It's probably going to be a one-line thing, and it's probably not going to say anything. Let's just see what he has to say.
Let's pump the brakes and think about this.
Yeah, that's all he's going to say. There's something going on. I think I can fix this in the background while we're talking. We might have to start this over again with the. All right, so while I'm in the background here, it's going to be kind of working on some of this. I think I got it. That might have done it right there. I think I just figured it out. Yeah, it seems to be working. All right, I think it's all working again. Let's try Artie again here. Let's let him call in. This is almost like it's live.
Almost. Technical Tuesday.
Oh, here we go.
My favorite day of the week here on your show, Kevin.
Oh, good.
What's up with the agentic world? Mm-hmm. AI seems to be changing at the speed of light lately.
Yeah,
is there any plateau on the horizon? This stuff just seems crazy to me.
Yeah,
what's your take on all
that? Well, you know, I got a take. I'm going to take it. That's for sure. I'm going to take it. I've already kind of answered this question. Kind of went through the whole thing. So it's interesting. We'll see what kind of response we get on this thing. To see what ends up happening. I don't know. There's so much going on. Again, like I said, in the AI world, with the speed, the competition, the kind of money that's being dumped into this thing, they're spending huge amounts of money. My understanding is they're losing a lot of money because there's not really money to be made right now in the AI world. They're just all trying to. It's all a big experiment. They're all trying to outdo each other, so the competition is huge. The amount of money is being poured into this thing. Some of it's coming from some interesting funding up, you know, situations. I mean, government's behind some of it, obviously, because they want to use AI for, you know, wartime stuff, military development, all kinds of things. But there's also lots of money being put into it for the sake of. Now, there's a lot of the good things going to happen with it. One of the things is in the medical world. They're discovering that AI can figure out things that, in terms of chemistry and medicine and that kind of thing, health-wise, that otherwise would not be able to be done. So there's a lot of good things happening in that respect too. But it exponentially increases as it is able to, because they're using AI to build AI. That's kind of where they're at.
From an engineering perspective, there's more to explore.
Yeah, okay, so it's still not picking up the keys properly, apparently. It's not getting something. I'm not sure what's happening there, but it's not doing something right. Something has gone amiss with the AI world here. Not sure why. I've reset everything there. It's just giving a cached audio signal again. I'm not sure what's happened with that. Something has happened, which is frustrating. Anyway, the... I don't know how to fix that. Just not sure where it was working fine the other day, so I'm not sure what's going on with that. I'll probably just go back. Anyway, probably time to just put that thing away and build the real one and be done with it. I think there's probably some issues there. Now, one of the things that's happened with the AI world recently is they now have systems that are so powerful. They're going back over some of the. In fact, I think Claude is the one who actually this happened to them. They built something that was, they've been going over all the codes, coding and stuff that has happened since, you know, back in this, since the coding has begun. So a lot of stuff that's been out there since, you know, for 20 years. And they're discovering some of the things that they thought were the most secure systems in the world. They're finding bugs that have been there for years. In other words, bugs are things where they can be exploited. They can be the kind of thing where a hacker can come in and find their way into something through a bug. So they're finding this stuff. One of the most secure platforms that was out there, I think it found three or four different bugs that had been there. One of the bugs had been there for 20 years and or 16 years, something like that. And but the problem with that available, if that was in the hands of a hacker, the hacker could use that same information, go into the code in a particular software program or whatever it is, and find out where the weak spots are and get in through that and implant something within the code at that point. There's some kind of a bug in the security. So that's what's happening. The reason that they're not going to, they're like, well, this is, we can't, you know, they don't want to put this out into the public. Of course, the problem with Claude is that they had two supposedly accidental dumps of their entire system in the last, I think it was been the last month or month and a half, that they've accidentally dumped a whole bunch of stuff that they weren't supposed to dump. It was like the internal workings of their system, which has enabled people to go out there and just build their own. They take the same thing, they just copy it. I think one was released for like 3 or 4 hours, and by that point, thousands of people had already downloaded it. And so that's one of the issues that I have with Claude, is they seem to be a little clumsy. Claude's a little clumsy. Clumsy Claude, they call him. And so that to me, either that or it's been done on, it's either an accident or it's been done purposefully by someone within the company or by the company itself. One of the two. That's possible. Or else it was just an accident. They're doing stuff so fast. And they have file, you know, you just don't check with files. So they load stuff out there. They throw stuff out there. I know they do some things that are open and on GitHub and that kind of thing. So it's kind of an interesting concept, the way they're doing all this stuff. And then they accidentally, you know, dump something with has more file attached to it than they thought it did. Has the back end. It's just all that. That's the kind of stuff that kind of concerns me about using things like Claude. So that's kind of where some of that, you know, it's also not picking up. Normally on the right side over here, I have show topics. It comes up with show topics. It's not doing that either. So there's something has happened with the file itself. I'm not sure what's going on with that. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's right. I know it's because it's picking up the, I wonder what would happen if I typed in 8081 in there. No, it's 8080. Port 8080. No, that's not going to change anything. Anyway, so that's what's happening there. At least that's part of what is going on with the, you know, the battle of the AI world, is that they're out there so fast. Now, ChatGPT, DeepSeek, my understanding is DeepSeek, I think it might be open, it might be an open system. The difference between an open system and a proprietary system is where they have, the whole code and everything's out there, it's available. That's where OpenClaw, if you remember, if you may or may not be aware, there's this agentic world out there. I want to talk about that a little bit because this is where the robots come in. The real future is in being able to manage the agentic world. So you have an agent. And I think the future really is specific agents that are leased out or used or subscribed to that are specific to certain specialties or certain you know, they have input from certain things that they have on their server. Now this is, and again, this gets back to where, say I wanted to start an agent that was just for airline pilots, and I have an agent that I'm hosting, and you can sign up for a monthly membership fee or a yearly membership fee or whatever it is. This is where the real income is going to be, in my opinion, for the long haul. When I say long haul in the tech world, I'm talking over a year. It's hard telling what's going to happen with this. So you don't just have ChatGPT and you have this one thing going on. This is like an agent that works behind the scenes that goes out there and finds information for you or has a cache of information available specifically proprietarily for you. Say you have a business making donuts and this agent has all of this information over and above what normal ChatGPT would have. It is specifically tuned to respond to questions involving the donut world. So you have this donut shop and you have this donut thing and you're built making donuts and you're marketing donuts. It's going to have a special tuning to that particular market, and so everything it relates to you on is with regard to the donut industry, the donut market, the donut business. And so you have this little agent that you talk to, and you might pay, you know, $10 a month or whatever you pay to have this agent available to you. Now, this agent doesn't, in and of itself, it lives on your computer, or it possibly lives on a website that you tap into, and you set up a profile who you are, what your business is all about. You type all your stuff in there, and it works with you. And it might use a variety of LLMs behind the scenes. It may not even use one. So that agent then, and that agent can do things for you. That agent can set up marketing structure. It can actually pay bills for you. It can, you know, set up your books. It can do all this stuff. You just, you know, send it a picture of your receipt for whatever you're buying, whatever's happening. It can order supplies for you. It can keep track of supplies. You know, you've sold 1,200 donuts this week. So then therefore we have to buy X amount of flour. We have to buy X amount of, you know, so it just automatically orders this stuff and the stuff comes in because the agent is keeping track of all this stuff. Now, computer systems there's software systems that will do some of this, not to the extent that the agent will. The agent will actually go out shopping for the best prices on things. And report. It'll send you reports. It will send emails to clients and customers and potential suppliers or whatever. It will do all that stuff for you if you give it permission to do it. You have to set it up to do those things. So in some ways, it goes above and beyond. And then, of course, it will send you a text message possibly or whatever it is. It can do all those kinds of things. It can send you a text message. And it will let you know what's happening in some cases. So it's a very fascinating system. Now, if someone develops an AI agent for donut manufacturers, for donut shops, you can then go out there to all the donut shops or people who make donuts or people who like donuts or people who eat donuts. Who knows what it is? But they go out there and do all this stuff. And what ends up happening is they end up, you can sell that agent. And then you can customize the agent yourself and you get this subscription to this agent that you're using. Kind of like your own little personal AI kind of thing. Now, the nice thing about that is the AI, that agent doesn't necessarily use cookies, tokens at all until it's doing something online that needs tokens. So this thing lives on a little, say you've got a little Mac Mini or you got a little computer that you never have shut off. You can run, it doesn't have to be a Mac Mini. Everybody's using Mac Minis to run their agents with. It doesn't have to be that. You can even rent space online. And the problem is it becomes there's some security issues with that as well. But you can say you have a Google Drive and you can, or a GitHub Drive, you can actually put the thing on that. So you have a server online that you rent space from. You could run your agent from there. Problem is you got to have access to it. So if your system is down or you don't have internet at the moment, you wouldn't be able to run your agent wouldn't be able to do it on your computer. It's done. So that's where you're having something on your own internal intraweb within your home. Say I have something that's connected to my server, connected to my router here at home. I could still operate my agent, and the agent would go out on the internet when it needs to go on the internet. But all the devices within my home here would be able to run the agent without even my phone. So that's the interesting part of this whole agent thing, the agentic world. Now, an agent can have other agents working for it. You might have agents that you divide up into categories, and you have an agent for marketing, you have an agent for production, you have an agent for whatever it is, bookkeeping, whatever you got going on, liability, insurance, clients. And you have those divided up. Say you have five or six different agents within the sub-agents, we call them. And you have this one agent that manages all those agents. The main agent gives you a report on, has all those agents report to that main agent, and that main agent, aggregates all the information and then, supplies you with a report or whatever. And you can also go in and talk to, you can specifically give commands to, or you always talk to that one agent and say, hey, have the marketing team do this, or have, it's kind of like you have these little employees working for you. Now, it's quite fascinating. It's also it's very dangerous because they can take off and do something that you didn't have any foresight to give them permission to do something, or you gave them permission to do something you didn't realize where they were going to go with it. But there's some fascinating stuff happening with that whole world, in my opinion. The folks who are able to manage agents and create and develop that side of things, those are going to be the next, I would say, the not the billionaires necessarily, but certainly the millionaires the internet made a lot of millionaires. The dot-com industry made a lot of millionaires back in the day, back in the turn of the century. And there's going to be, that's what's going to happen right now. I think the agentic world is where the money is going to be made in terms of serious, fast money. I'm going to call it fast money, I guess. That is where the gold rush is. Now, and that's, when I say fast money, I mean over the next 5 years. That's where it's going to be. In fact, probably less than that. It's probably going to be 2-3 years. The people who are getting into it now are the ones who are going to make the money in the next 5 years. You got to get involved in it now. If you're going to be involved in it. Now, there's the other side of this is, what is this doing to society? And this is what I want to finish this whole thing up with. What's happening with society here? We've got one of the fears I think that we have, and this is one of the things I was going to have one of the little AI people call in and ask about. I guess I could do that part of it. I think, didn't I do that with Skip? Was it Skip? I did that. Let's see what Skip has to say. I think I saw what Skip did. Yeah, let's see what Skip is. Oh, no, I guess Skip isn't running. Skip, sorry, it's not going to run. Yeah, it's not going to run. All right, anyway, I kind of screwed that up. I think I just might have messed it up there. That's probably what happened to it before. That's probably why it is messed up. Actually. Oh, yeah, I didn't want to pull that up. Sorry. There we go. Where'd it go? Yeah, I'm just going to close this window because it's not working right anyway. So that's what's happening. I think with there's this fear that AI is going to take everybody's jobs away, or a lot of jobs away. Now, of course, there are people, you know, plumbers. You're not going to have AI doing the plumber work. However, AI can help with plumbing. If they have to deal with codes and all kinds of stuff all the time. There's got a lot of compliance they have to deal with when they go in to do a job. There may be a way to fix something. You know, maybe someone's got a pipe issue or whatever it is, or they need to order supplies or whatever there's they need to do. The AI can be behind the scenes doing those things for them. They can have a setup where they got a little agent that runs those things, or you know, the marketing of the business itself, the managing of the business. AI can help with those things. Now, but they can't turn wrenches. AI can't turn a wrench. However, it can teach you how to turn. Do I turn this left or right? Is it lefty loosey or righty tighty, or is it this a backwards thing? So there's all that kind of stuff that's going on behind the scenes that AI is going to play a part in my opinion, in most of the world, and it's or at least the developed world. But there's always going to be a need for, you know, technicians to turn wrenches or whatever it is, or, you know, people to put drywall up, whatever it is, construction's not just going to happen on its own, doesn't it? Now, at some point, robots are going to do a lot of those things. But what does that mean for society? What does that mean for us? Well, one is, let's say we live in a society where robots can build themselves. They can do everything for us. They become completely our servants. They take care of themselves. They do everything by themselves. They are out there working in the energy industry. They're drilling the oil. They're working in the oil fields. They're getting the oil. They're converting it into fuel. They're using coal. They're managing the nuclear facilities. That's a great thought, isn't it? They're doing all that, all the hard labor stuff. They're building our cars. They're building our boats. They're building all of our luxury items. They're building everything there is to build, and we're just coming up with, you know, humans behind the scenes are just the ones who are coming up with some of the creativity to make some things happen. We're applying different, you know, new technologies to different things they're coming up with behind the scenes with all this stuff. Now, where does that leave humans at? Well, it leaves us to be, you know, our creativity, of course, is off the charts at that point. We can be more creative. We can be more, our leisure time becomes greater. This has always been an issue. I saw an article the other day. I can't remember if it was 19, was it 19 something, 1910 or 18 something. It's been over 100 years ago. There was this thing called the March on the Machines, and it was a protest against mechanisms, you know, the mechanized world that was coming into place, because they felt like machines were taking over and they were taking everybody's jobs. You know, like sewing machines and all this stuff was happening, you know, just prior to the war. And it was this major, huge deal. that everybody thought that their jobs were going to be eliminated. We're just going to be, you know, people aren't going to be needed anymore. These machines are taking over, and they're going to, it's leaving people out in the dark. There's, you know, there are all these unemployed people out there. Well, it wasn't that jobs were going away. It was that jobs were changing. And it's people get caught up in that change. And there are people who fall through the cracks, and there are people, they might be very skilled at doing something, and all of a sudden that skill isn't needed anymore because it's being taken care of by some kind of machine. And with this is happening a lot, like in the accounting world, and it's I think even in the lawyer world. What people aren't realizing is that you, even in the accounting world, you know, you can AI can do your taxes now. AI can do your bookkeeping. All that stuff can do all, you know, your bookkeeping, do your taxes. I don't trust it. And I think until we have people who are looking at, here's where it's going to make the difference. The accountants and the lawyers who are leveraging their work, leveraging their work with AI are going to be the ones who come out on top. Because not only are there's this one lawyer recently, I think it was some defense lawyer or something, defense attorney or something, that was doing something. It might have been it was a pretty high profile case. And this lawyer apparently had this brief that he put up. It might have been with the Supreme Court. He put this brief up there, and it was Cohen's lawyer, I think it was. Cohen is the guy who was supposedly Trump's lawyer. He was his kind of his sleazebag lawyer on the side that was providing, you know, stuff for the whole, what's her name? The whole stuff with the one lady that he was involved in. It was all this stuff that was going on. And so there's this, or he's still a contributor. He was actually, I think he was in jail for a little while because of his practice. He's got his law license taken away. So now he's a contributor on MSNBC. Or CNN or something, or MS Now, whatever it is he's on. I don't know what he was doing. He's on something. And I think he got, I'm not positive about that. Just to check on that. Anyway, so his lawyer hired a lawyer. And that lawyer, I think, had a briefing of a case that happened. Well, AI hallucinated and made the case up. It wasn't a real case. And yet he read this case into the court proceedings and got in trouble for it because they figured it out. They found out this wasn't a real case. And so I think the prosecutor looked it up and couldn't find it. And they figured out where it came from. So you got to be really careful with that kind of stuff. And that's where the lawyers get in trouble. But if they use it to their advantage, where they can leverage the work that they're able to get done. Now, one of the things that you can do, like that's why I like LLM, Notebook LM, is you can put in documents and it will only draw from those documents. It will not go out and make something up. When there's contradicting information within the documents, that can be a problem. That's where I've run into issues. There are some things there's some documents that I've put into some LLMs that in the notebook, and you find out that there's two different answers to the same question within those documents because there's a contradiction. And it's what's interesting with that is you ask it a question or you have it develop something, it will come up with two different answers. It will come up with two different scenarios or limitations or whatever it is that you put in there. And it's confusing because it's confused. And so it'll make something up with, you know, between the two. It'll come up with something one time and something different the next time. So but that's the problem of, you know, garbage in, garbage out. That's not the problem with the LLM. It's the problem with the information that's being put in there. But it will not go out in the internet and find some kind of weird article or something. It will not be influenced by some kind of weird, you know, hallucination or some kind of weird. It won't make something up, which I think is very helpful. Now, at the same time, what you have then is, so jobs are changing. That's what I'm getting at. The agentic world, you're going to have just different kinds of jobs. Our leisure time is going to increase. Now, what we have today is, you know, people used to work ridiculous hours. They used to work, you know, crazy times. And of course, there was one time where there was just a single family income because there wasn't the kind of daycare. There wasn't, you know, the one person stayed home. Typically, the wife would stay home, and she was the homemaker. She did And by homemaker, that means you make your house a home. You did the cooking, cleaning, took care of the kids, made sure they were educated, made sure all this stuff would happen. And they had social structure. So there was, because all the women did this nowadays. You know, if you're a woman doing that, there's not very many other women that are staying home doing that. And it's harder to network with those individuals. Usually through church, that's the best way to do that. But so now you're kind of on your own. It used to be all the women would kind of gather in a community or in the neighborhood and could then do things together. You know, they'd all get together in darn socks or whatever they would do. That was typical. That was kind of a social event for them. And that was part of what they did. They would help each other with different, you know, especially the younger girls, the younger women that were married, the young marrieds, they would get with the older women and they'd learn from them and they'd learn, you know, what works and what doesn't. And it was just, life was just different back then. So now you just, you know, you scroll through, you doom scroll through the reels and find out what everybody's doing and what's, you know, and then you find out that that's not real stuff. It's all AI or whatever. So it's crazy. It's a very different culture now because of what we're doing. And so but now people do things because of their passion. I do things not because I have to, because I want to. I have more choices now, like in what I do. But potentially what I can do. And so you gain life experience, you gain different technical experience. You can do different things. You're more marketable in your skills. It's just the things change like that. Well, as robots start to take over, it just changes what we're able to do or what we need to do. And so, if you can roll with it and just keep going, that's where the key is. You know, otherwise, all you're doing is just sitting around complaining, wham, my job's gone, that's all I can do. Well, you can do other things. You just need to have the competence or the something. Whatever it is, that spark that's inside of you that, people resist change. They're afraid of the unknown. You know, the unknown scares people. And that's where... I think people get lost in some of the transition with some of this stuff. Regardless of that, we're going to take this quick little break, and we're going to come back and talk about what we're going to do tomorrow.
It's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news. According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
Yeah. According to me,
it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me,
it's the news.
Yeah, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me.
Hey, speaking of which, I haven't played this yet today. This needs to be played because this just needs to be played. It's got to be played. It's just the way this works. We're going to do it right now. Here you go. Oops.
Ooh, yeah. Da-da-da-da. 5-7-4. But wait.
Hey.
There's more.
Yeah.
6-5-1. We're almost done. 7-6-85. Text that number. It's alive. Text that number, call that number, don't be a loser.
Yeah, don't be a loser. Call that number. Hey, folks, tomorrow we're going to have, probably going to have a live show tomorrow. That's the plan. We'll see how that works out. Maybe. I don't know. Tomorrow's show, it's gonna be Wednesday. We used to call it Hump Day. Hump over the Hump Day. Whatever we're going to call it. I'm not sure we're going to call it yet. I'm going to work on that. Probably going to be talking about some more newsworthy items. One is Ilhan Omar. She's kind of hot in the news right now because of all this stuff about her, what she's worth and what she's saying. And just the lies just continue. And has anybody forgotten? She was attacked recently, physically. Whatever happened to that guy? Anybody ever talk to that guy? What's going on with that investigation? All of a sudden that dropped out of the news. We're going to talk about Ilhan tomorrow, probably a little bit, unless something else big happens. But we'll talk about that in the Iran war. Some other things that are going on in the Democrat Party. Gavin Newsom, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, if you would call the show, 574 651-7685. In the meantime, God bless, and hey, see ya.